Well, good afternoon. If you take your Bible with me, please, and let's open it to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We have the question before us for us to examine. And this is the miracle, number 9 in this series of lessons, the miracle of Christ calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Do you suspect there'll be any people in our classes this Sunday that have a storm in their life they need to have calmed? Do you suspect there's anybody teaching this lesson Sunday that has a storm in their life that they need Christ to calm? Pastor says, you think there's anybody that doesn't have a storm in their life that need Christ to calm? The question is, this will move us right to trusting Christ with that, and you'll be encouraged as you prepare. You can also find the story in Matthew chapter 8. Of course, you'll want to read that in preparation for Sunday. Mark chapter 4, you find it in 3 of the Gospels. But we'll take the account given to us in Luke chapter 8, verse 22, let's read it together. Let's have a word of prayer, if we may, please. Lord, we thank you so much for this good day and for your goodness to us. I pray now that you'd help us in the next few moments together as we pray and prepare and think about Sunday. Lord, I pray that you'd help as we study this lesson and look into it, the miracle as you calm the storm on the sea and in the lives of these men. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to trust you and answer this question in our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. You want to mark the question there in verse 25? Where is your faith? You want to make it personal? You can write out beside there, Where is my faith? Where is my faith? Where is your faith? And that's the question that Christ left with these disciples as they're sailing across the Sea of Galilee. Important question, because you remember in Hebrews chapter 11, you can take your class there on Sunday as they turn in God's Word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, But without faith it is what? Impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It is impossible to please Him. I'm afraid in my life I'm trying to do the impossible often, and that's to please Him without faith. Without faith. Christ says to His disciples, and He's saying to us, Where is your faith? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God expects me to live by faith. Of course, we know we trust Him by faith, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, the faith to trust Christ. But beyond that, He expects me to live by faith, trust Him each day for what I need, every day, every moment of the day. And Christ would say to you, and He would say to me, Where is your faith? As He says to His disciples in this particular instance, where is your faith? Faith. Now let's look at some things particularly about this story and as they're brought to light right here. First we see in this story of Christ calming the storm on the sea, first we see the sailors. The sailors. You want to look in verse 22 and 23, please. Now it came to pass on a certain day that He went into a ship with His disciples, and He said unto them, Let us go over the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. But as they sailed, He fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. The sailors. These were not inexperienced men as far as sailing was concerned. They'd been out on the sea many, many times. They had no apprehension at all about getting in the boat and heading across the sea. Not one bit. They were experienced sailors. No doubt they were even quite confident in their ability to handle it. They may have even been I imagine a little excited that Christ was going to get in the boat and see just exactly how talented and how capable they were and have a chance to sail that sea And no doubt, maybe one of them said another, man, Christ is in for a great ride tonight. We're going to take him across this sea, and we're going to enjoy this beautiful, beautiful evening and across the beautiful Sea of Galilee. That's the sailors trusting themselves. But an emergency arose as they were crossing that sea. Not a small boat, incidentally. You read in one of the other Gospels, there were other little ships, subordinate ships, traveling with this boat. And an emergency arose, and it got out of hand. It got to be more than they could take care of. I imagine as the wind first started coming up, they thought, we can take care of this. Little wind blowing in, we know what to do. And they're moving around there, maneuvering, doing the things they'd done so many times before. But soon it got way out of hand, more than they could take care of. And they ran to Christ. They ran to him and said, Master, Master, we perish. They were scared. And they were saying, can you imagine saying to Christ? They were saying to Christ, he's on the boat with them. And as you're reading in Pastor's book in preparation for this, you'll note how he brings out, they're not just saying, you know, we're going to die. We disciples are going to die right here. But they're saying to Christ, everything you've come to do is going to end right here. I mean, we're on this stormy sea. It's all over for us. I mean, almost as if to say, Christ, you made some mistake. It was Christ that suggested that they go across. Take a look at that in a moment. And they're saying, we perish. Master, Master, we perish. Christ, you along with us, this is going down. It's over right here. And God brought them to the end of what they could take care of themselves. We've seen this in other passages of Scripture. Remember back in the 107th Psalm, Psalm 107, verse 27. The Bible says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. And that's where so many people are today. That's where these disciples were, at their wits' end. They tried everything they could do, and God brought them to the end of themselves. And he wants to work in our lives, bring us to the end of what we can do. Now, often we get to the point where we say, well, I've done all I can do. Now all I can do is pray. Isn't that something? Now all I can do is pray. Well, that's where we should start. Christ says, where is your faith? Where is your faith? That's the sailors. We move from seeing the sailors there on that boat to the ship. What about this ship? Well, no doubt it was seaworthy. It had been out many times. It was a stout vessel. And the ship wasn't going down that night. The fact that it wasn't going down was not because it was well-built and well-maintained. It wasn't because there were great navigators on board. It wasn't going down that night in the storm because Christ was on the ship. Because of Christ's presence. And that's the ship. Sometimes we worry about the ship, maybe the ship of our life or the ship of this world. Man, have you ever seen anything such a mess as what we're living in today, all around us in every situation? Remember the second Psalm, Psalm 2. The psalmist asks, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying. And the psalmist goes on and talks about how the world thinks that they're in charge, and God just stands back and laughs because he knows the outcome. And at the end of the second psalm, in verse 12, verse 11 says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Then the last sentence, the last phrase of Psalm 2, blessed are they that put their trust in him. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Not the surroundings, not our ability to get things done, but blessed are they that put their trust in him and such. The ship, worthy vessel, no doubt, but it was going down had it not been for Christ and his intervention in this instance and in the lives of these men. And what Christ started, remember we said back up there in verse 22, it's Christ that said, let us go unto the other side of the lake. Now, if they'd stopped to think for just a moment when that storm come up, somebody should have said, you know, Christ said we're going to the other side. If Christ said we're going to the other side, then we're going to get to the other side. Because what Christ started, Philippians chapter 1, he being confident of this very thing, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it. And Christ said, let's go to the other side. Christ has said to you, he said to me, we're going to the other side. There are going to be storms that come, that approach our lives and enter our lives. But Christ says, we're going to the other side, and we can take confidence in that. And we see the sailors, the ship. Thirdly, we see the storm. The storm. Verse 23 says, they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. They were in trouble. Christ stood up in verse 24, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. Pastor brings out the point that this rebuked is the same word that we find when Christ is dealing with demons and the devil in the New Testament as he's performing miracles in people's lives. This rebuke. And the devil had stirred something up here. And things are stirred up in your life and in my life. But Christ rebuked the wind and the waves. And what happened immediately? There was a calm. A calm. And I'm thinking about everybody involved in the situation, not just the disciples there, but other boats that were traveling, people in the coastal regions of the Galilee there, and in the middle of the night, a storm raging, and then all of a sudden a calm, suddenly a calm, where Christ intervened, and he rebuked the wind. That's the storm. It was submissive to Christ and to his command. And then we see the Savior. I would say finally we see the Savior, but it's not finally. It's we see the Savior. Because that's the point here. The sailors, yes, the ship, the storm, but the Savior. The point is made, given to us, that Christ didn't wake because of the storm. You notice the storm didn't wake him up. He wasn't the least bit concerned about that. What woke up Christ was their unbelief. That's what disturbed Christ from his rest. As he was sleeping on that ship. It was their unbelief. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And my unbelief disturbs my great Savior. And he looks down at my life and he says, I've said we're going through to the other side. And he says, I've provided and I've proven myself time and again. And here we are again. And your unbelief disturbs me. It wasn't the storm that troubled Christ, but the unbelief of these men. And he asks them, he says, where is your faith? Where is your faith? They were afraid. They were afraid after they saw, they were afraid of the storm initially. Then they saw what happened as Christ calmed the sea, and they were amazed. You notice when they say, what manner of man is this? You notice that's an exclamation and not a question mark. They're saying, what manner of man is this? And they were afraid. They were in awe of Jesus Christ and that their life influenced by him, and they had at that moment to be with him and see and witness the power of a holy God in their own life, the Savior, the Savior. What, not what we think of the storm that matters. The storms are going to rage. They're going to be great. But it's what we think of Christ and what we can trust Christ for. So we see this and ask the question, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And as you're preparing and praying about the lesson, look at the lesson aims. As you look through these points, attach those lesson aims to these points. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then we see the sailors and that God works in our life to bring us to the end of ourself. And we see the ship. And Christ is the victor that cannot fail. It is Christ that said we're going through to the other side. And he's promised we can be confident in the fact that he's going to complete what he started. And then the storm, the devil stirring things up. And things get stirred up in our lives. But we don't have to be anxious because Christ can calm the storm. And then when we see the Savior, and we understand that our unbelief and our lack of faith disturbs Christ, and we can take confidence. And when Christ asks, where is your faith? We can search our own hearts and own lives and say, Lord, help us. Help us to look to you and have the faith that we should have to be the Christians that you've saved us to be. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this story. It encourages us. May we ask ourselves, where is our faith? Where is my faith? And may we get it in line with you, trust you, look to you, and trust you in all things. Be with us as we prepare for this Sunday. Bless our pastor tonight. Thank you. You brought him back to us safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.